This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's a bizarre situation with the Philadelphia Eagles and their quarterback spot. Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. ESPN Plus, friends, 888-729-3776. Got to get all of your quarterback takes from over the weekend at 888-SAY-ESPN. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and of course all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And I have to start with what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts for a few moments this hour, because it's strange to me. It really is. Throughout this entire offseason, at no point was there any real confidence that was expressed in Jalen Hurts potentially being the Eagles quarterback. He played last year, I thought at times played reasonably well, but he looked like a rookie quarterback at times too. But Jalen Hurts has got an awful lot of ability. He's got an awful lot of accuracy to his game too. You know, last year there were at least two other teams that were looking to trade up to get Jalen Hurts before the Eagles selected him in the second round. So let's talk about this for a minute. You watched Jalen the other night against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he does everything that you're supposed to do when you're an incumbent quarterback, playing a few series, looking sharp, delivering the football on time, not confused by anything, and the Steelers are throwing blitzes at him, just looked the part in every way. And he is somebody that hasn't even been an afterthought in Philadelphia since the Carson Wentz trade. Why? Because we all know that if Wentz plays a certain amount, that the Eagles are going to have three first-round picks this coming year. If Wentz plays 75%, that's going to be the situation. So if you have three first-round picks next year, you are in position to get your next quarterback. And you see some of these statistics that Jalen or Hurts was dealing with the other night. 86% of the plays where he dropped back, six of the seven plays where he dropped back, he was facing blitzes. I mean, that from Next Gen Stats is staggering when you're talking about the preseason, but he's facing the Pittsburgh Steelers and none of it fazed him. He can make throws on the run. He can do a lot of different things. So why aren't the Eagles as high on Jalen Hurts when they went and traded Wentz and put themselves in that position to maybe have three first-round picks and go get somebody next year? Well, to me, it's pretty simple. You talk to people in and around Philadelphia, and it was clear that when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts last year as a second-round pick, he was a Doug Peterson pick. Doug Peterson, from what I've heard, had wanted Carson Wentz to be pushed, felt like maybe he was a little too comfortable in being the starting quarterback for the Eagles, especially after what had happened the last few years, and wanted to draft somebody to push him and to light a fire under him. And Jalen Hurts turned out to be that guy. So they did that for him. They did that for him. Remember that this is a coach who won a Super Bowl, the first in the history of the city, just a couple of years earlier. So he's still getting the benefit of the doubt at that point. So they pick Jalen Hurts. He doesn't play all that much. When he does play, he's okay. But then Carson Wentz gets traded, and they're moving on from him. Now, Howie Roseman, as their general manager, is miraculously still there while Peterson's gone, while so many other executives under him have left. And I really have to wonder, and this is me wondering about the situation. Because he's a Doug Peterson guy, is that why the Eagles have been so hesitant to really sing his praises. Listen to Nick Sirianni the other night. This is the first time I think I can really remember his praises being sung at a, I just would say, an acceptable level.
I thought he handled it well. He made a really good check and a great throw to Dallas for a big play. He saw what defense was coming, and he checked the play. A ton of credit to him for that and making a perfect throw there. I thought he went with where we wanted the ball to go, you know, versus the defenses they were going. He had a couple drops in there. So I was really pleased with him. And then you got to see him. He kind of lost Zach in the middle there. You got to see him break contain and make a play that way with his feet.
And he didn't do it too soon. The ball, when it was delivered exactly where it was supposed to be each time. And it was dropped at least twice, if not three times. And when he did make a play with his feet, it wasn't because he was pulling it down and panicking and didn't know where to go with it. This is a fascinating situation to me. I don't know that the Eagles want that. When I say the Eagles, I don't know that Howie Roseman wants Jalen Hurts to be the guy. I really don't. I think he wants to be able to go out and prove that his own guy is going to be the guy. He wanted that with Carson Wentz. He obviously went and got him a few years ago and made aggressive moves to do it. But there's always been a little bit of a chip on the shoulder of the Eagles general manager that would suggest that as somebody that wasn't necessarily a football guy, that was somebody that was a GM who came more from the analytical side of things, that there was a chip on the shoulder to prove that he knew what he was talking about. It's interesting to me because Hurts, I think, has the ability to be a great quarterback. And there were other teams that felt the same way that were considering trading up for him when he did not, when he made it to the Eagles. It was surprising that he made it as far as he did. Then there's Tua Tagovailoa. Boy, there aren't a lot of believers in Tua, and I am having trouble understanding why. I've heard so much about the arm strength. It's not that great. And, oh, God, Tua's going to did you see the pick that he threw the other day at the goal line? Yeah, it was a bad pick. It was a bad pick that he threw. Did you watch the rest of when he played? He was sharp. He was very, very sharp. And I read something today that I thought was very interesting. You want players, especially younger quarterbacks, to make their mistakes now. And of course you do in the preseason as opposed to the regular season. But for quarterbacks, when they're making throws now, they are trying to determine where the line is going to be for them with their receivers as to when they can try to force it into a tighter window and when they need to dial it back and check down. Because a lot of times when you see quarterbacks who are just check down, check down, check down, people feel like, all right, well, he's doing a good job not turning the football over. Well, no, if you're a great quarterback in the league, you have to be able to go make plays down the field. And Tua, the other day, was very, very accurate up until that point. So I don't have a problem in a preseason game with him trying to fit it into a tight window because it is still very much a feeling out process for Tua Tagovailoa. And to me, he's somebody that deserves an opportunity with the Miami Dolphins to be the guy. People, there has been an awful lot of negativity that has been pointed his direction. Think about everything this guy did in college. And we could talk about all the talent that he played with. You know what? If you made it to the NFL, you're talented. So there are other talented players with him. Even on the worst team in the NFL, there's more talent than there is on the best college football team. There just is. So understand when that's the case, that this is somebody that deserves an opportunity and should not be written off as he has been so far. It drives me absolutely insane the way quarterbacks are treated now in the evaluation process. If you're not great right away, you're immediately written off as somebody that's going to be a bust. Those are two guys that, mark my words, are going to play well in 2021. Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Want to get to your thoughts on your rookie quarterback. Should Justin Fields be playing right away? Should Trevor Lawrence not be because of the offensive line, as we heard from Mike Tannenbaum just a little while ago? And if you missed it, this was Mike this morning describing why he felt like maybe playing right away for Trevor Lawrence was not necessarily the best course of action. If I could find it, there it
Jacksonville's
is.
Offensive line was really poor. So we're talking about the development of all these young quarterbacks. How about the development of Urban Meyer? Does he learn anything from Zach Taylor a year ago? Puts Joe Burrow in behind a bad offensive line. Myself, Rex Ryan said, hey, Joe Burrow has a really good chance of getting hurt, tears his ACL. The way Jacksonville's offensive line played, when you look at it, they gave up 4 sacks, 8 pressures. Do they either, A, start guarding Minshew? I think unlikely. Or, more fundamentally, guys, do they change their approach? Do they say to Daryl Bevel, Brian Schottenheimer, hey, we have to be balanced because we can't let Trevor Lawrence get hurt. And if I'm Urban Meyer, I'm not at Ohio State anymore. I'm not walking out there with 5 blue-chip offensive linemen.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's definitely a problem, and it's an interesting point. Now, if you're trying to sell that publicly, it gets a little bit trickier because your fan base all expects him to be the guy right away, and you can find ways to make them understand that with that offensive line, we don't want to get this guy clobbered like what happened with Burrow last year, or we don't want to just potentially ruin this guy's career for the long term. David Carr? Does that ring a bell? I mean, there have been guys along the way that have been young quarterbacks that have had their careers ruined by that. And you cannot afford for that to be the case with somebody like Trevor Lawrence. And then there's the New Orleans Saints. Wow. Wow. 6 turnovers in your first preseason game from your quarterbacks. 6 turnovers. And of course, there is the battle. And I feel like I want to use air quotes when I say battle between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill's not a full-time quarterback. Let's be clear about that. He's not a full-time quarterback. He's a gadget guy. I know that the Saints went 3-1 with him as the starter. That's great. They're not going to win a lot of games this year if Taysom Hill is the starter. They're not going to win a lot of games this year if Jameis Winston is the starter. There's a lot of experience for Winston, but that doesn't mean he's good. You know, when you, I always laugh. The best stat that means absolutely nothing is when a team has all of their returning starters back, right? Well, a lot of times, if that's a bad team that is trying to get better, that's a team that had bad starters to begin with, so maybe you don't want some of those guys to return. That's kind of how I think about Jameis Winston, if we're going to talk about all of his experience in the league. Yeah, he's had a lot of experience, a lot of it bad. Yeah, he threw for 5,000 yards. He nearly threw for 5,000 interceptions the same year. Listen to Sean Payton the other night. Hey, let's compare the performances of your quarterbacks.
Now, I'm not making any comparisons with the quarterbacks right now. It doesn't matter who, really, with 6 turnovers, right?
Yeah, exactly right. It doesn't matter who it is. 6 turnovers. Jameis Winston throws the football to the other team a lot. That's going to continue to happen. The Saints are not going to have a good season. I don't, and as great of a quarterback coach as Sean Payton is, I don't know if even he can save Jameis Winston. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. which of the rookies should be starting and which ones shouldn't. Brian in Naples, Florida, is up first this hour on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Brian, what's up, dude?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I think a lot of people were sleeping on Jalen Hurts. The guy could just downright play. And if you were going to start a 7-on-7 league out of our division, I think he's the best quarterback in our division.
Is he the best quarterback in the NFC East? He's not. Dak is the best quarterback in the NFC East right now. I mean, I can't say that about Jalen Hurts yet. I'd still rank him third. And I know Ryan Fitzpatrick, people like him. I can't rank him higher than fourth right now. I can't do it. But Dak Prescott's still the best quarterback in the division. I would put Daniel Jones ahead of Jalen Hurts right now, but very easily at the end of the year, those two could be flip-flopped. Because this is make or break now for Daniel Jones. Again, in this kind of absurd new mentality that we have about when quarterbacks get paid, that we have to decide by the end of or the middle of year three whether or not we're going to hand out a big contract to a quarterback, because that's as long as it takes to really become great. God, it used to take a lot longer because you sunk that investment in early and you had no choice but to let them develop. Kent is in Montana, up next on ESPN Radio. Kent, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I like listening to you.
Appreciate that.
Hey, I'm a Denver Broncos fan. Just wondering what your opinion is on Drew Lock. He's one of these young guys. You don't know whether he's going to continue to improve or if he's hit his ceiling. I'll just hang up and listen to your opinion. Thank you.
In a word, not a fan. Not a fan. Teddy Bridgewater is going to give the Denver Broncos, who have a terrific defense, the best chance to win games this year. Simple as that. And they actually have pretty good receivers, too. I want to see Jerry Jeudy make some big plays, and I've heard all about him in the preseason. The only way to do that is to have a competent quarterback getting him the football. And to me, the competent quarterback to get him the football is Teddy Bridgewater. Julian is in, Julian is in Michigan, up next on ESPN Radio. Julian, what do you got?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. So why don't the New Orleans Saints trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, especially when they have that quarterback controversy between Trey Lance and him? And obviously the Saints have an issue with quarterback, and you would rather bring someone who's a more veteran-like quarterback, and you could probably trust him more based off of Jimmy Garoppolo's track record. That's all I got.
First of all, I would say that the 49ers are not going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to a team that they're going to be battling in the NFC if they really feel like Trey Lance is giving them the best chance to win this year. Secondly, Jimmy Garoppolo is giving the 49ers the best chance to win this year, not Trey Lance. I don't think Trey Lance has played enough football and is going to be ready to be an effective starter in the league right away. I just don't see that. And he looked good the other day. Boy, he's gifted, and he will be a really good one. Not right away. The idea for the Saints of trading for him? Sure. That Saints would be a formidable team with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. I mean, their odds to go to the Super Bowl would shoot up if Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Kyle in Iowa next on ESPN Radio's. Kyle, what do you got, dude? How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm outstanding, brother. What do you got?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Justin Fields needs to start right out of the gate. We got the Rams first. No way Andy Dalton's running away from Donald. I do believe Justin Fields is ready to go. He's that talented. Plus, with our issues at left tackle, not knowing if Jenkins is going to be there. Dalton's not running away from anybody. It's time for Justin Fields. Justin Fields' time.
Look, I think that is your best argument. The offensive line needs somebody who's going to be more mobile, and you could absolutely worry about Andy Dalton getting sacked 600 times this year. Okay? That's fair. Personally, I would be of the mindset of waiting for a few weeks before I started Fields, making sure I felt like he was locked in on our offense and what we're doing, and also making sure that I have crafted an offense that fits his skill set. This so often gets lost. And coaches, there are some that get too caught up in the system. The really good ones worry about what a guy can do versus what a guy can't do. And they're going to put him in positions to succeed with what they can do. That, to me, really illustrates when you have a coach that understands what his player is about. Justin Fields is going to be really good. Sitting the first few weeks may not be the worst play here. Up next, as we roll on, more of your chances to weigh in on whether Fields should be starting, on whether right out of the gate Trevor Lawrence maybe would be better off sitting because of the offensive line situation in Jacksonville. And he has mobility, but not Justin Fields' type of mobility. But somebody believes that you shouldn't sleep on the Jets. You're going to want to hear this. It's Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
In 2 minutes, audio files, including somebody that thinks you cannot sleep on the New York Jets. Chris Carlin for Bart and Hahn today. Presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. First, though, more of your calls. Nate in Hershey is up next on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Nate, what's up, bud? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. How about yourself? How you living?
I live well.
I hear you. Hey, I was listening earlier, and I thought I heard you say something so crazy that do the Eagles want Jalen Hurts to fail? I look at it as if they do, they're idiots. The best thing that they could do is go ahead and have that young man succeed, and with getting 3 first-round picks, build around him and set that defense up something nice. What do you think?
Look, my argument about this is simply, it's human nature, if you're the GM of a team, that you want the guys that you picked to succeed. And from everything I have heard, Jalen Hurts was a Doug Peterson selection. So I haven't felt all along that the Eagles have really believed all that much in Jalen Hurts because he was Doug's guy. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they want him to go out there and be atrocious this year. But are they going to be broken up? And when I say they, I mean Howie Roseman. Is Howie Roseman going to be broken up if Jalen Hurts plays poorly or plays mediocre and now Howie gets charged once again with going out and finding that franchise quarterback? And it's going to be Howie's guy. Don't be shocked if that's the case. You can't tell me it's not human nature for guys to come in, do a job, and want their own guys to succeed, and maybe they're not necessarily rooting for the guys that were in the camp of the head coach that just left. Ben is in Arizona next. ESPN Radio. Ben, go.
Yeah, I think that Fields should be the starter, but after listening to you, I think that it would be better maybe a couple of games on the sideline, but I don't think that maybe no more than 3 or 4 games and he'll be the starter there.
See,
could be the best thing for the kid, though. Like you say, wait for a couple of games, though.
And the best thing you did all day was listen to me, because it is the best thing for him. It is going to be the best thing for the Bears. Yes, their offensive line is not great. Jason Peters, who's 742 years old, is trying to help with that offensive line. The Bears are not in a great situation up front, but also understand that they have a young quarterback who has great, great ability, and there's not a need to rush him. Fields, to me, looks like somebody that if you let him sit 4 or 5 games and then you turn to him, he'll be better off for it. Todd's in Arizona up next, or Indiana, one of the two. What's up, Todd?
Yes, I was just wanting to talk about the Colts preseason game and how Sam Ehlinger looked yesterday. Do you think he possibly could start the first regular season game?
Well, there's the battle with him and Jacob Eason, right? So Ehlinger looked good. The thing I have to remember is it's the second half, so he's doing a lot of that against guys that are going to be looking for work in a few weeks. So I tend to put a little bit of a grain of salt in with evaluating him. But at the same time, that's who he's playing against. That's who you're putting him out there against. So you have to be impressed by that. To me, if that's the case, you know, with Eason and Ehlinger being the backups, I still think that they're going to look to improve that position. I don't know if you're Frank Reich, how you can afford to not get a better backup quarterback. The problem is, you bring Nick Foles into that situation, you're going to lose Carson Wentz. Their relationship between Nick Foles and Carson Wentz was pretty good, not bad. But it was overall of what Nick Foles stands for. Understand that Carson Wentz, every day, went to work the last few years looking at a statue of Nick Foles and Doug Peterson drawing up the Philly special. Understand that. How is that quarterback going to feel if you bring in the guy that he had to listen about for the last 3 years? How's that going to go? Best thing for the team? All right, maybe. Encourage Carson to get over it and grow up? Yeah, maybe. But be careful. Be careful. Audio files. Let's do it.
Audio files. The audio file.
A little late, too. I wanted to get some of your calls in there. We'll get more in just moments. First up, though, we were just talking about Justin Fields. So here's his take on how it went that first time out.
It was actually kind of slow to me, to be honest. I was expecting it to be a little bit faster, but, you know, practicing, you know, game speed, going at it with my teammates every day. And, of course, you know, we have a great defense. So me going against them every day, It definitely slowed the game up a little bit for me. So, I felt comfortable out there, and I have room to grow, so I'm just going to try to get better each and every day.
It's great that you hear him say that it felt slow for him, because it means that he wasn't overwhelmed. But again, it's still the first preseason game. The speed is a lot different from college to the pros, obviously. Each level you go up, it's going to be much, much faster. Justin Fields the other day, once he got through the first couple of series, really looked a whole lot better for the Bears. I still know that Andy Dalton would be better off starting for them early. Then there's the Jets. Well, we'll get to their quarterback in just a minute. But somebody else is fired up, and that's C.J. Mosley.
I'll go back to one of my quotes when I first got here, you know, people sleeping on the Jets. And if people come with that same mentality, they're going to get their ass blown out. And that's 100%, no matter where we have MetLife or anywhere else. They think there's anything different, there's anything old about this Jets team, it's not going to end well for them. And that's the mindset that we're going to bring to work every day.
He's referencing three ugly, ugly words that you hear about the New York Jets. Same old Jets. Well, CJ got here 2 years ago, and he's played in 2 games. Have that mentality. That's great. Maybe after preseason game number 1, after you sat out all of last year and you were injured all of your first year, we dial it back on you're going to get your ass blown out. Maybe we just dial it back on that. Just a hair. That's all I'm saying. Quarterback's not doing well in preseason game number 1. The New Orleans Saints. What happened? What happened, Sean Payton, with Jameis Winston and with Taysom Hill?
Now, I'm not making any comparisons with the quarterbacks right now. It doesn't matter who, really, with six turnovers, right?
Yeah, it doesn't. They were both terrible. And remember, Taysom Hill is a gadget player. That's what he is. He is not a full-time quarterback. He played a few games last year. They went 3-1. That's great. If Taysom Hill's the starter this year, Saints aren't making the playoffs. If Jameis Winston is the starter this year, there is an outside chance the Saints make the playoffs. That's how bad I think those two guys are. And for as many yards as he threw for 2 years ago, don't forget that Jameis Winston also threw 30 interceptions. Then there's Dak Prescott. How soon do the Cowboys want to see him? Do they need to see him in the preseason? Well, here's Jeremy Fowler, our ESPN NFL insider, on Dak, his status, and when the Cowboys want to see him.
I'm told they're in good shape there. That, you know, I've talked to several people with the Cowboys, and they really have no concern long-term with this. Todd Archer reported that the MRI was positive, and it's looking good there. And from what I was told, he's in the middle of a ramp-up period of about 7 to 10 days, started around Monday or Tuesday, and he'll throw more and more each day with a little more velocity or more volume or however they want to construct it, knowing that he could play Saturday in the preseason game against Houston, one or two series. That was kind of like the original potential working plan they had. They know now they don't have to rush him into that game. They got the third preseason game. They can work him in as a dress rehearsal. They do want to see him in the preseason at least once if they can.
They should, because look at how little he played last year and look at how little he's been on the practice field this year so far. If you can get him in for a couple of series and you're confident in his health, there's no doubt that you at least have to let him get his feet wet just a little bit before the regular season comes. Has all the management stuff turned the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Well, take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. Up next, one rookie quarterback absolutely has to start week one, and it's out of necessity. Your chance to weigh in on calls next on who should be starting week one out of the rookies, who shouldn't be, and is Tua actually good enough to be the solution in Miami? Why he is. It's all next. Chris Carlin for Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Zach Wilson got it done in his NFL preseason debut. Getting it done is brought to you by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Chris Carlin in for Barton Hahn today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And in every way, yes, it's two series. Yes, it's the preseason opener. But Zach Wilson looked the part, and he was going to be the starter anyway because Mike White is the backup right now. And James Morgan is right there too, who's a fourth-round pick and nowhere close to being ready to play. So there is no doubt that Zach Wilson, from the second the Jets called his name for the NFL draft, he was going to be the starter this coming season. The other night, there wasn't anything that you really saw in those first moments that alarmed you. And look, we all cannot get too worked up by what we see in preseason games. There's still an awful lot of work to do. It's an encouraging moment, to be sure. But Anthony Becht, the former Jet tight end, was on with KJZ this morning and spoke to this and how Wilson is nowhere really, really close to where he's going to need to be yet.
The puzzle's 1,000 pieces, guys. He's got about 3 pieces. You got to work the edges first, and then you start filling the middle. He's got, like, the left top corner going. And, you know, it's there, which is good. But, you know, I think you saw some good things in different opportunities, a couple third down conversions. He was accurate with the football. And the one thing I think this is great is his poise in the pocket, at least in the game that he played. He had a calming presence. The first thing that came out to me when I watched was like, okay, he looks smooth and comfortable. not fidgety, wasn't patting the ball. He understood where guys were going to be and go, and he found the open receiver. So, you know, those are good things to work off of. But, look, it's a marathon, man. He's got a lot to learn, a lot to do, but it's a nice opening day performance for him.
Not only was all of that there, the anticipation was there with his throws. They were exactly where they needed to be, anticipating where the receiver was going to be. It wasn't waiting for anybody to get someplace and throwing it too late, which is what you see from quarterbacks that young who do not trust themselves yet or do not trust the receivers yet as they're still building relationships. He looked, with Corey Davis in particular, on third downs as if they've been playing together for 10 years. It was pretty impressive. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Julian in Oakland is up next on ESPN Radio. Julian, what's up, dude?
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for taking my call. It was great meeting you at the Celebrity Softball game. Really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
Nice. All right, Julian, that's cool. What's going on?
So let's get to the Jets and Zach Wilson. I think you have a nice transition here. So what are your expectations for him during the season, and what do you expect from the Jets? Personally, I would be happy with 7-9 wins from them this year.
Oh, if the Jets won 7-9 games, it is a massive, massive step forward. I'm still right around the number of 6, which I think is still an improvement. It's not what we're talking about with C.J. Mosley. Don't get me wrong. People sleeping on the Jets, let's relax with that. But let's put some realistic numbers on it for Zach Wilson this year, all right? Let's say 65% completion percentage, 3,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Is that fair for a rookie? Absolutely, that's fair. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Zach Wilson is the real deal, for sure.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.